Today's scripture reading is Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning again, church. If we have not had a chance to meet, my name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor for this community of faith here at First Church. I'm so glad that you're here to be a part of worship this morning here in the sanctuary. Of course, across the street, part of our congregation is gathering in the Great Hall of the Family Life Center for modern worship, even as we speak, as we gather on this side of the street. Together, we are a busy, buzzing little ecosystem of faith and of praise this morning. And so all of us together, even across the street from one another, pausing in this day to turn our hearts toward God, hoping that when we do that on this day, slowly over time, it will redirect our lives every day in that direction toward the God of love who gives us life. So we're taking this first bit of the year to talk a little bit about the United Methodist social principles that were just rewritten or revised, I guess, in 2024, just coming up on 2 years ago, those were approved. And so this week we're really going to jump into the meat of it with the first section of the social principles that is entitled "The Community of All Creation." So I want to, before we go further with that, I want to back up and say a word as we jump into this passage from the first creation account in the book of Genesis. I want to say a word in defense of poor grammar, okay? Now, I know that some of you, like, you're already starting to twitch and the hives are growing and you're very nervous about poor grammar. But here's the thing. If you are like the children in the first family, then you've always been taught that when someone asks, "How are you?" It is improper grammar to respond with, "I'm good," right? What should you say instead? "I am well," or "I'm doing well," right? Today, in light of Genesis 1, I would like to say that there is a place for us to respond and to repeat as often as we can, "I am good. I am good." It's what God says, not just about us, but about each piece of the creation that God designs and calls into being. Again and again, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then finally, it is very good. Tov meod is the Hebrew there. I want to underscore how different this account of creation, this telling of our origin story is from so many other accounts of creation that were written and were shared in the oral tradition of this time, the same time that this one from Genesis was written and shared. Accounts of a world that erupted out of violence or betrayal among the gods. No, in this telling of our story and of the story of our world, the world is created with intention. We are given this window into what God's intention has always been. And it's one of balance, of interconnectedness. The Cherokee theologian, Reverend Dr. Randy Woodley, writes this. I'm going to read it to you, but it's really vivid. He says, each part is incomplete without the whole, and everything is being and becoming in relationship with the other. The celestials regulate the balance of the terrestrials. The night dusk comes to softly compel all creation to enter into rest, and the calm brings about refreshing coolness to the world. The advent of the day provides new life and new opportunities, like the embrace of warmth for plants, animals, and humans. I know this morning my plants were waiting for the embrace of warmth. The moon regulates all the waters. The sun regulates each season. This is a grand picture of shalom on the earth. And what we read in this beautiful telling of our creation is that from our beginning, we have a calling to be in a particular relationship with the rest of creation. We have a part in God's ongoing work. We have this part to create and to carry out that wholeness, that mutual flourishing. We have a calling to be co-creators of that shalom, that wholeness. And this first section of the social principles, it draws out more specifically what we as United Methodists believe that role should look like. Given the issues and the challenges that are before us and that are facing all of creation today. So in the social principles, we affirm that our flourishing depends on the care of all of God's creation. And so we are called to honor that role, the role that each part of creation plays, because every part of it is valued by God. Here, we find a confession that we all too often have treated the rest of the created world as if it were disposable. And even as warnings have been sounded, we have ignored the voices of the people who are the most affected and often the most at risk. The collective voice of the church speaks through these words, and it speaks with the voice of the prophets. And they call each of us to reverse the trajectory of global warming, of climate change, in specific ways. Things like increasing investments in the research and the development and the distribution of alternatives to fossil fuels. Things like solar and wind and geothermal and hydrogen-based energy sources. They call us to respect and to care for and to protect creation by adopting sustainable habits and practices as individuals and as churches, even as we also advocate for sustainable policies at every level of government. United Methodists call for things, very specific things, like local control over food production. We oppose things like seed patenting because it reduces access to traditional crops and it increases farmers' indebtedness. We urge international cooperation in order to end poaching and the exploitation of animals. We reject the exploitation and the commodification and the, here's the big word, militarization of space. Did you know we cared about that? We should, right? When you think about it, I do oppose that. Throughout all of this, We call attention to just how disproportionate the effect has been. The degradation of the natural world has had a disproportionate effect on marginalized communities. Indigenous tribes, religious and ethnic communities, people who are living in poverty, they have borne the brunt of the effect already, and all the more will in the future. When we do this, when we call attention to all of this and name it, we affirm our commitment is not just to ourselves, but rather we say, my well-being is wrapped up in your well-being, whoever you are. And so we commit to practice environmental justice. I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like care for God's creation, it just feels like an uphill battle. The destruction of the natural world, it has gone far enough to indicate that the damage is in some cases irreversible. The selfishness and the willful ignorance of so many it's enough to drive us to despair. Even as we personally feel overwhelmed and like we are never doing enough, like I can't do enough, I can't make enough change in my life fast enough to meet the need. And yet, God's call in creation rings above all of that. God does not permit us to stop caring, to stop co-creating, to stop hoping. And again, we see around us God's people are responding to that call. God's people within the church and beyond the church are being given everything that we need to join God in the work of shalom, and it is happening in the most marvelous and creative ways. Local churches are addressing food deserts in their communities by using their land as community gardens. I read about one church that has spent a decade growing a gardening and beekeeping ministry on their 11 acres of land. Pause. Imagine a church with 11 acres of land. Wow, that's cool. But like, what do you do with that, right? Well, they began gardening and beekeeping because they had people who came to the church and who said, you know, we want to join the church. And the pastor said, well, great. What are you gifted at? And they said, well, we do this. And they started. And where that has led is out of those ministries, they have developed a sustainable water initiative for their entire community. While also, at the same time, the proceeds from the beekeeping ministry, they make and sell products off of that, and the proceeds of that fund a United Methodist missionary in Ghana, someone who is there teaching people agriculture and farming and animal husbandry and beekeeping and other skills. Here at FUMC, each week we are, as you know, committed to feeding hundreds of our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness and poverty and who need a meal. But in the process, we recognized just how much styrofoam and plastic we were adding to the landfill. And so, a few years ago, we took the step to significantly increase our budget for these ministries in order to use compostable paper products and utensils, and to pay for the composting service that is not cheap, but is important, because it's important to us. One of our own leaders here in the congregation who you have heard preach from this pulpit, Reverend Dr. Becca Edwards, she is a leader in the United Methodist Witness, both here in Texas and far beyond. She is the Climate and Energy Fellow, serving both Texas Impact and the General Board of Church and Society. So just a couple of months ago, Becca and a team with her, they represented us and the broader interfaith community as they participated in the United Nations Climate Change Conference, halfway across the world, advocating for the very changes that we read in these social principles. That's incredible. In a time when commitment to environmental programming and initiatives is really waffling, as programs are being defunded and closed down, there's a United Methodist ministry called Earth Keepers that is expanding and flourishing. It's an incubator that helps United Methodists to turn their theology and their good ideas into action through environmental projects in their churches and in their communities. Last year, the United Methodist Church commissioned 72 new Earth Keepers. It's the highest number in the program's history. It's growing. This is where I find hope, friends. A reminder that God is still creating, still sounding the call for us to live into our goodness in the fullest sense, in partnership with creation, to care for one another. When God's people get inspired by that creative power of the Holy Spirit, then justice and joy and shalom will spring up, even in the places where hope can be the hardest to find. So this week, may you have the ears to hear and the courage to respond to that thrumming call of our creative God, calling us not only to experience new life, but to partner in the flourishing of all life for the sake of God's good creation. Amen.